Good morning, Gautier. It's Michael Waits. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, Michael. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm super happy to have you on the phone. Do you want to just give a little bit of background about you just for the new listeners?
Yes, absolutely. So what I do in life is composed of three main things. I'm an entrepreneur to begin with. I'm the CEO of Datawise Academy, a boutique firm that helps company move through the digital transformation by better mastering data. But that passion for data also extends to two other fields I'm involved in. I'm a data instructor at Stanford University,
Wow.
and I am also the executive director at the Fisher Center for Business Analytics at Berkeley. And the three activities combined enable me to pursue my passion for data, to keep on learning with faculty, students, and the many startups I work with. And I'm really thrilled to share everything I'm learning every day with you.
I cannot wait to do this. So, do you actually advise startups as well, and particularly in the field of data?
Yes, I do, and I do it two ways. Through the years, I've acquired some expertise and experience around data and data product. And any company who has a solution related to data processing, data analytics, or that uses data, I think I can help using this experience. And the other fold is companies should not delay their adoption of analytics and data. And it's not because you're small that you should be mediocre with the way you handle your analytics. And I'm advising helping even small companies to better master their data with efficiency so that they gain the visibility they need with little effort and with much accuracy.
Yeah, I mean, two topics that people talk about a lot, right, are data, big data in all its forms. But people also talk about digital transformation, which is something you mentioned earlier. But most people don't talk about them together, which I find fascinating anyway. Do you want to talk about how those things are connected?
Yes, the term digital transformation is a weird one. Kudos to the term first. It's at least it put everybody on that page that says you got to evolve to survive. You got to transform in a digital world. Now, the issue with digital transformation is that term digital. I think it has misled people to believe that companies should be all digital and it's kind of digital or nothing. And I think that the truth lies in a much more balanced approach. Yes, a lot of our things, the things we do, are going to become digital, but some of the solutions to transform and survive in this world don't have to be digital. It's also going to be about people transformation, spirit for innovation, eagerness for design thinking, mastering of data, lean processes. I think all this technology, data, people, process have to come together to survive what Brian Solis calls the digital Darwinism, well, which is pretty much simply the corporate Darwinism, which shows that being big and strong is not a guarantee to survive. It's really all about your agility, the way you're going to innovate, the way you're going to fight adversity or unfortunate events. That's what's going to make you survive.
Right, so digital or not digital, right? And we can talk a little bit more about digital transformation later, but whether it's digital or not, there seem to be kind of four things that are essential to being able to master data. And some of them aren't digital at all. And I like the fact that you said this. It's almost spiritual in a way, right? You have to know yourself and you have to be able to convince yourself that you're entering sort of a new domain. Humility, I think, is really important in this process. Do you want to explain a little bit how you feel about that? And then we can go through some of these other tenets as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you hit a subject that is very, very dear to my mind. Coming back to that point of humility and sort of a normal fear for the future, but positive one, the one that keeps you on your toes, that keeps you in alert all the time. You know, something when you asked me to introduce myself, I did not mention two things that very few people know about me. In California, we have the luxury to have clear skies and beautiful oceans. And I started to surf and to do astrophotography when I arrived. Now, what has that got to do with data? Well, these two disciplines actually have two things in common. The first one is not related to data. It is that in both cases, you freeze your butt, whether outside in the mountains at night doing astrophotography or in the ocean, which is pretty cold in Northern California. But this set aside, the second thing they have in common is what makes them very comparable to the data discipline. They're both lifelong learning journey. Astrophotography, it's a never-ending quest. Every day I go out there, I realize that I don't know. There's so many things I don't know. Every day I go with my board and I'm facing the first waves. I realize that if I'm too cocky and overconfident, I'm going to get beaten up. And to some extent, data is the same way. Data is opening a never-ending learning journey. If you want to be into data, if you start being data driven, you have to be ready to know that every new day is going to bring brand new questions have no answer for. You will stop saying, okay, tomorrow's going to be like yesterday, and the day after and the day after are all going to be the same. It's going to be relaxed and cool and comfortable. Opening the data box means you hop on that train. And every day is going to be a new challenge, an exhilarating one for sure.
Look, one of the things that my first boss at Morgan Stanley said to me when I started trading was, the market doesn't care about you. And in a way, it's kind of like surfing. The wave doesn't care about you either. You have to pay really close attention to it. The wave doesn't even know you're there. And in a way, that's where the humility comes from. You have to understand like what you know and what you don't know and how to interact directly with it as opposed to trying to mangle it on your own.
Exactly. Humility drives to curiosity and drives to eagerness to learn more. And then the cycle goes back again because you just move to the nearest unknown. And then the nearest unknown is humility in facing the problem, curiosity and eagerness to solve it. And then you address it, and then you go again. That's what I love about data.
Yeah, so that also brings up the topic of courage, right? In other words, you're entering a new zone. And you've got to be able to go out of your comfort zone. I say this often, right? The people that like just have the capacity to move out of their comfort zone are the people that are going to end up being the most successful for sure. And when you wade into data, particularly new data, you don't know what you're going to get. You have to understand like what you do know about it, and what you don't know about it, and then how to factor that in when you decide what the insights are that you're getting from that data. How does that deal with digital transformation as well?
Yes, you know, you hit it on the nail, and sometimes it surprises my audience and my students. Everybody wants to learn big data, data science, algorithm, data modeling. And yes, you can learn that. And you know what? It's going to be simpler than you think. That's the key. But the hardest part is this people side of things. And I realized that the change in being data driven is going to be so profound that yes, people fear this. People are reluctant to embrace. So they surely do want to go digital and ride that wave. But at the end of the day, when you're on your top of that wave, it's frightening. And I see that every day in meetings with my clients. In my class, I can see the fear and the reluctance to move forward, which rapidly transform in refusal to change. That takes courage. That takes really courage to embrace that change.
How do you do that with new students and even with new people that you're advising? How do you get them over their fear of dealing with the data? I mean, we talk about how much data gets produced every day. It can be overwhelming at times, right? So how do you get them over that fear and let them know today there's plenty that you don't know, but if you continue to go through this process, you'll get better at this and it won't be so scary later? How do you go through and convince people that that's the case?
So multiple pillars here. First, you train them how to understand the basis of data management. So the technology, the design of lean processes, and how to manage data. these are disciplines you can learn and that are not hard. I mean, typically within 20 hours of classes at the university or day and a half in a corporation, you can get people to a pretty good understanding of these core principles. Then, you're right, there's a lot of data thrown at us and a lot of things we can do. Then you educate them to ask the right business question. And that is a fantastic starting point. If they know the basics, and if you know how to ask the right question, their entry into data is going to be very focused. Last but not least, you train them about these fears. You train them about the change, what change does to their own selves and their teams. You help them analyze a resistance to change and how to deal with it. So you equip them with the tools to lead their projects and their peers on the projects. And once you group these three things together, you manage to apply that to a workshop, something tangible, transformative, so that they get the taste of it and they get the proof point that, yes, this can work. So these are the four keys I usually work on to infuse that change.
And what are the tools that you use when you're talking to people about digital transformation and combining that digital transformation with data?
You mean tools in terms of software, for instance?
Yeah, software tools or even emotional tools. What are the basic tools that you use when you sit down with people that haven't yet mastered the data? How do you guide them? Which tools to use?
So first of all, we define what a typical data process has to be, and the first tool of choice is any data you're going to manage is going to have to be in a form of a database, a table database or a table period. And you really drive that change to say stop manipulating data at will and in any shape or form. Push your data into tables first. Then the second step is differentiate these two steps of gathering data and organizing data into table sets, and then analyzing this data. So these are two different phases we usually combine, and it's a mistake because when you capture, structure, and process at the same time, you end up into Excel spreadsheet hell.
Right.
That becomes a big issue.
I'd love to learn how to eliminate Excel sheet hell, spreadsheet hell. We can talk about that a little bit later. Let's finish this first.
Yeah, so I train them on that core discipline to say you have to keep your data fluid, and a fluid data is a piece of data you can share with anyone and with any type of application. And as of today, if we remove the unstructured data piece, yes, which is big in volume, but for business application, it's really useful. You're going to working with a table logic and working with this two-prong approach. Store first, analyze second, that gets you a long way. Then two types of tools that I love recommending once you have that core set up is, yes, you need an analytics tool, a business intelligence tool, which is basically a reporting that's going to sit on top of these data you collected. And you're going to realize that if data is collected the right way, analysis is going to be a no-brainer. And the second part, which is the principal one, and that's why I want to finish on this, is you got to equip yourself with either techniques or software that can help you transform and prepare your data, because this is 80% of the work.
That's what I was going to ask you about, is how do you eliminate the noise in the data so that you're just analyzing data that's relevant as opposed to data that's irrelevant or dirty, right? And I guess that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And of course, data that is not well organized to help you perform fast analytics, because each time if you need to perform analytics, you need to reprep and recheck and rechange the data. You're wasting time. You're wasting momentum. Actually, you lose your target.
Yeah.
So how do you see the signal in the noise? First of all, you have to be extremely stubborn about your business question. Make sure it's a focused one and it's the one that really is the one you want to solve. Most of the time we don't want to ask that question because it's a hard one. We'd rather go and say, oh, I want to see a variance. Okay, but what for? I just want to see the variance. Okay, but what for? And I think making sure we go to the last questions, the deepest question, that really helps. then we don't know what we don't know. And what I work on with the teams is on highly iterative processes. Of course, you know your questions, but you know your question at some point, but you don't know the data you're going to get, and you don't know how the data is going to fit into your analysis.
Right.
So you got to get some data, try it out, see how it goes, and then go back, get more data, try it out, see how it goes. And little by little, you either you shift the business question because you realize you can go deeper, or sometimes you can't go any deeper because, or you can't go that deep because you're missing the data. But by doing highly iterative around this, you start small, you iterate, you don't feel you're getting lost into too much data. And eventually, after 5, 6, 10 iterations, which you can do within half a day, well, you'll get to mastering large amounts of data without realizing that you've reached that point because it's been a natural progression.
How do you convince people that you have to be trying to solve a business question with your data as opposed to using data to create a business scenario? What's the difference there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's actually, we were talking earlier about change, and that's a tough one. Because asking the business question forces you to take sides, forces you to use your business acumen, your
Right.
experience, your responsibility in the company to say, as a leader, whatever my level is, as a leader, I'm asking this question because I am in charge and I need to solve a problem tomorrow. And that is taking side, and that's the biggest problem, because if you ask a question, you make a stand, and in front of everyone you're making a stand, and you realize, like, oh my gosh, it was so comfortable when I was doing my report in my Excel, I was doing my little analysis and my little dashboard, nobody was asking me question. I mean,
Right.
wasn't that more comfortable? And today I come and say, we have a delivery problem. We have this many things in quality. We need to solve that in particular. I'm going to get the metrics and get the job done. How much of an exposure is that? It's exhilarating, yes.
It's exhilarating. Yeah, it's complete exposure, right? But again, this gets back to the surfing thing. It's like the wave is there to be ridden. You're either going to ride that wave or not. You're either going to ride it well or not. But once you get up on your board and get on that wave, now you're committed. And like you said, you're taking a side, you're taking a stance. And it's very similar, I guess, in that respect.
Yeah, so, and I would add, once you're on your board, it's you realize how fun and easy it is. The hard part is behind. And data is the same. Now I'm jumping on your metaphor.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. So talk to me a little bit about design thinking as well in the context of data, right? In other words, how does that fit in to this concept of digital transformation, excuse me, and then the understanding and the use of data?
Yeah, I see design thinking and open innovation actually, well, which are different, but these are two concepts I work with my fellows at the Institute for Business Innovation at Berkeley. For me, they really touch our data topic in two ways. First of all, finding the business question, finding the new approach, looking at things differently. Is paramount. If we keep on doing data, even with more data and the new tools, but we keep on doing data with our Excel bias, we're going to reproduce the good old model just in more expensive and more powerful tools, and we won't get very far.
Right.
So we absolutely need to rewire our brains and our behaviors and our collaborative modes with the team around us. We have to rewire them to take advantage of all this and even to push our limits, because now data and technology enable us to go beyond. So that's the first thing. And the second thing that ties to what you said, we were discussing earlier about that digital transformation, of that need to transform. What's going to save us tomorrow? It's not IT, it's not technology or data. What's going to save a company tomorrow is its ability to change, evolve, create, innovate, collaborate. These are all these human values that are going to, the spirit of a company that's going to take it further. The digital part of transformation does, the mastering of data is that it's going to create free time for massive amounts of people. Because if you work faster with data, you can save like hours every day, tens of hours every month. And with that freedom, what can you do? Well, you can start thinking. You can start looking at bigger problems. You can start collaborating more. On top of that, if you master data, you have much more insight on where you come from, where you are, and where you go. Combine these two, you have two fabulous weapons. To be successful, you have the insight and you have the free time. Now you're just missing one thing, and this is where it ties back to open innovation and design thinking. Once you have that, your brain is still thinking the good old way, where you were struggling, working 24 hours on spreadsheets, running after time. All of a sudden, you have that time and you have that insight easily. Well, once again, you need to rewire the way you work. You need to change the way you meet with people. It doesn't have to be a tense meeting. It could be over a cup of coffee. This is where the techniques, design thinking, the approach in open innovation can be dramatic game changers. But it requires you to have that time and that insight. Otherwise, you can learn this all you want. If you're stuck behind your spreadsheets, it won't do you any good.
What do you think the relationship is between a company that understands data, that combines it with digital transformation, and their ability to survive in a really fast-changing world? In other words, is data mastery combined with digital transformation one of the keys to a company's survival? And if you don't do it, do you run the risk of just being destroyed?
I think the relationship is tight in a sense that, like I said before, keys to success to this transformation is for companies to be agile, collaborative, innovative, creative. You know, add the different, add more if you want. And the fuel for all these elements are for sure insight and time. Without insight and without time, that the number of hours, there's no way your workforce can start thinking about the grander picture. No way. All the more when you're tired. So in that sense, it's very tight. But in another sense, making digital transformation focused on data or digital application, I think, is a big mistake. That's why I said earlier, I don't like too much the term digital, because it is a transformation, yes, but it doesn't have to be fully digital.
You can use all the data you want in a digital format, right? And that's really important. But the key thing that has to change is your mindset about the way you approach it. And that is completely
yes.
Non-digital. That's completely analog experiences. You have to remove yourself and understand, how can I be curious to learn new things? How can I have the courage to go outside my comfort zone and do new things? How can I accept failure and have the humility to understand that sometimes I'm not always going to be right? But that's completely non-digital. That's a mindset change. And that's a very different way of thinking about this. And maybe what we need to do is talk about data and transformation and business transformation as opposed to
yes.
digital transformation, right? Because if you say digital, people start thinking about just like scanning paper, scanning data, and they don't
yes.
think about the mindset change that's more important.
Absolutely, and that's in that sense that it is so transformation is so remote from technology and data that it's because it's profoundly all about that mindset and the mindset of the leadership who has to stop pushing the old approaches, who has to say, you know what, I too am going to be transparent, because if I give power to my people, they're going to see what I do. It's not going to be buried in some obscure spreadsheets.
Right.
So I gotta accept to be judged or judgeable. And on the other side of the spectrum is for the staff members accept that gain of responsibility and empowerment, which can be scary at time, but it's also exhilarating.
Right, and that's the key.
Exactly. And actually, and if I were to say, I think where these two populations really connect is at the end of the day, their company will survive if they join forces to innovate and create the solutions of tomorrow that are going to make a difference or that are going to help the company adjust to the constant changes. And that will rely on the time they both gain and on the insight they both produce, which leads us back to data as a big primer for all this.
That is an amazing discussion. Look, that's a perfect way to end today. I really want to thank you very much for your time, Gauthier. Today was really awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me.